is here, who's going to be talking to us on pagan festivals that were introduced into Christianity. Brother Eddie, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you, my sister?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well.
What an interesting chapter that we've been busy with, right? For us to be able to even come out of chapter 1 and 2 with such conversations now it's becoming scary. The other day you were talking about Santa Claus, you were talking about Mother's Day. What is happening? What happened?
Okay, so in this book, that is why I'm saying the book, a great controversy. Once you read and study this book, it opens our minds, it opens our understanding to the world that we are living in. And this comes from a passage in chapter 2, which says most of the Christians at last consented to lower their standard, and the union was formed between Christianity and paganism. So although the worshippers of idols professed to be converted and united with the church, they clung to their idolatry, only changing the objects of their worship to images of Jesus and even of Mary and the saints. The foul leaven of idolatry thus brought into the church continues its baleful work. We are told that unsound doctrine, superstitious rites, and idolatrous ceremonies were incorporated into her faith and worship. So we see that there were things that were incorporated into the church because the devil knew that persecuting Christians will not be ideal. So he found a way of making Christians, the followers of Christ, to worship him. Remember, the devil does not care how you worship him. Even if observing an event, to the devil it's fine. You have worshipped him. He's happy with that worship. So we're told that there was a mixture of Christianity and paganism. The word paganism itself is very interesting. We must understand when we say something is a pagan festivity or a pagan worship ceremony, we must understand what we are talking about. So, for example, today, I'm saying Christmas is a pagan festival. It's a pagan worship festival. We must understand what is paganism. And paganism in the Oxford Dictionary is described as a religion that worships many gods. And the gods that I'm reading here is the G-O-D-S with the small g. So paganism itself is a religion that worships many gods, especially a religion that existed before the main world religion. So it existed before even Christianity was established by the disciples. Paganism was there. They were worshipping many gods. They were worshipping dead gods. They were worshipping statues. They were worshipping many of these things. So Christmas is a pagan form of worship. It's a festival. And the interesting thing is that one thing we must understand is that when the idolaters, the pagan worshippers, came into the church, they brought ceremonies like Christmas, but it was not called Christmas back then. It was called, they used to worship in December. For 2 weeks, they used to have a worship of a god called Saturnalia. For 2 weeks, it was a festival. It was a god of agriculture. And they used to worship that god for 2 weeks in December. But on the 25th of December, they celebrated the birth of a god called Mithra, their sun god. Both celebrations were raucous and drunken parties. So they used to do those ceremonies in December for 2 weeks, and then on the 25th, they worship their god called Mithra, and their sun god. But when the Christians came now, they said, you know what, We see that you are not celebrating our festival. You are not celebrating with us. Can we then turn the 25th of December as the birth of Christ? And the Christians agreed. But at the same time, we know that. So they continued to worship their sun god Mitra and to commemorate the festival of their god of agriculture. But the Christians also came in and they were told that on the 25th we are celebrating the birth of Christ. And that is how Christmas started, all the way from back then up to today. We still have Christmas, but we need to know the origins. This was what happened when, in great controversy, when we are talking about this union between Christianity and paganism that came into the church, the devil planted that. It was a way so that Christians can be weakened, so that Christians can worship the day, can worship the devil unknowingly. But we cannot say unknowingly, because this information is publicly available. You can search for it and you can find it, the origins of Christmas. So by partaking in Christmas celebrations, we are actually partaking in a pagan festival, in a pagan festival that was done by pagan worshippers. That was that we are actually helping them to worship, to remember their god Mitra, their sun god, who they used to worship. We are still commemorating, we are still celebrating. But the interesting thing is that these celebrations were rockers and drunken parties. They used to drink a lot of alcohol. They used to eat a lot of food. They used to celebrate. They used to dance. That's exactly what happens in Christmas today. The birth of Christ is very little remembered on Christmas. It is an occasion for celebrating, for drinking, for doing all those things. Yes.
Sure. This is quite frightening. You know, to be honest, I've never thought to look for the origin of Christmas. Only now, as you are mentioning it, I'm actually searching and I'm seeing exactly what you are saying.
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually quite scary. And what other festivals have then been introduced into, or you know, other forms of pagan worship have been slowly and, you know, subtly, not even slowly, subtly introduced into Christianity today?
So we're told that even the ornaments of Christmas itself, they've got symbols, you know, these
really?
Things that are used to represent Christmas. Because we're told that as Christianity spread across Europe, the Christian clergy were not able to keep pagan customs and celebrations. Since no one knew Jesus' date of birth, they adapted the pagan ritual into a celebration of his birthday. So basically, Christ was not born on the 25th of December. He was not born. The historians actually estimate that it should have been between September and October rather than it being in December. So basically, this is a worship. But there's also things like the Christmas tree. You know, as part of the celebrations, the pagan cultures decorated their homes with greens in anticipation of the spring to come. Evergreen trees remain green during the coldest and darkest days. So they were thought to hold special powers. So the Romans also decorated their temples with these green trees. So the reason why we have green trees, anyone has ever asked themselves, why do you have those Christmas trees in the first place? What is the significance? It is because when they were worshipping their gods, they thought that these trees had special powers. So they would decorate these trees, they will worship these trees, they will say these trees have got powers. That's why they will bring them into their houses, they will decorate them. But we also know that they will put even the bells that are put there, all the things that are put in that, they've got significance. But not only that, even Santa Claus, you know, Santa Claus is one of the most recognizable representation of Christmas. But we're told that actually Santa Claus was from the Christian side of celebrations. So there was Christmas and everyone needed to bring something. So the Christians, they brought St. Nicholas. We were told that he used to be a bishop in the early Christian church and he suffered persecution and imprisonment for his faith. So he came from a wealthy family. He was renowned for his generosity towards the poor and disenfranchised. So they also brought the Christians themselves, they brought Santa Claus, and in honor of his passing, December the 6th was declared St. Nicholas Day. So they also incorporated him into the into the Christmas celebration, giving us that mixture of Christianity and paganism. But now what dominates the Christianity is Santa Claus himself, it's the Christmas trees, it's the Christmas decoration, it's the drinking, it's the all these things have been brought by the pagan worshippers to celebrate. So this is what we should know about Christmas when we are celebrating. What is it that we are really celebrating? Because definitely the birth of Christ is not part of Christmas. It is not a celebration of the birth of Christ. It is a celebration of the pagan worship. But we also have an occasion like Easter. You know, we're nearing Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand the origins of Easter. Is it really celebrating the death of Christ? Or is it another form of pagan worship? Remember, Christianity was spreading. And the devil knew that he can only get into to us to celebrate his festivities only if they are disguised and only if he plants his own flag into our into the Christianity. So we're told that since Easter is associated with the resurrection of Christ, 50 days in the new Christian church were attached to old pagan festivals. Spring festival, with the same of the new life and the relief from the cold winter, became connected explicitly to Jesus having conquered death by being resurrected and after the crucifixion. We know that usually in Europe or in America or in the Western countries, where they are going through, they are coming out of their winter as we speak right now. We are going into winter, but they are coming out of winter. So there was a festival to celebrate the coming out of winter, and the pagans saw that it was easier for them to attach the death of Christ to Easter because it is something that a Christian can identify with. But in actual fact, Easter was decided that it would be an occasion of a celebration. There's a goddess called the word Easter itself. It represents, is actually known as Iestra. It is a pagan fertility of godness worship for the humans and the crops. So they were celebrating. There's a god that was about humanity and a god who was about crops. And the traditional colors of this festival were green, yellow, and purple. The symbols used were bunnies, you know, rabbits, and eggs representing fertility. So we have to ask ourselves, why on Easter do we have those rabbits? Do we have those eggs? Clearly, that has nothing to do with the death of Christ. It is nothing. It is completely disconnected. So this goddess was celebrated, was represented by those rabbits and those Easter eggs, was the one that they were worshipping. But because Christians were now joining, they were joined to Christians, they said, no, let's change, let's celebrate the death of Christ during that period. That is why Easter changes dates. I never realized that until I researched it, that it actually changes dates every year. It comes at a certain time. It comes. This is the dates of Easter are actually determined by the movement of the planets and the sun. So the calendar designers, when they see the movement of the planets and the sun, they determine that this Easter must be done during this time, which is exactly what the pagan worshippers used to do. They used to celebrate Easter according to the sun, but they also used to celebrate their goddess with Iestre, which means Easter. And that was a goddess of fertility and the goddess of fertility of humans and the crops that they were celebrating. So basically all these things, this is what the Dial of Ages, the Great Controversy means, that there was a union of Christianity and paganism, but paganism brought its own feasts and its own celebrations so that they can be disguised as the celebration of the death of Christ or the birth of Christ, while in actual fact, it is a pagan worship system celebrating their own gods rather than celebrating Jesus Christ and what he achieved on earth. Yes.
Sure. We're learning a lot today, Brother Eddie, from Christmas to Easter. And I think because we often do things blindly, as I said, I've never thought of asking myself, where does Christmas come from? I just know that we as Adventists, we don't recognize, you know, the date, but I've never done the thorough research myself. Easter, I never even thought about it. The Easter bunnies, to me, you know, it's just an innocent celebration.
Yes.
You know, it's an innocent celebration, but not. So I just want us to talk just in a few minutes, Brother Eddie. So what do these things mean? You know, some may say, I did not know, right? And some, yes, like today, me, we know. But what message are we putting out there when we commemorate these things, when we celebrate these things in our homes? Are we then explicitly denying the power of God, even though we say, I do not believe in Easter, but in Christmas, but I have a Christmas tree in my home, to, you know, and we always use the excuse of to make our children feel better, da 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 da. Easter, it's just Easter eggs. We're just getting it and we're getting the family together. We do not celebrate it, but because families are together, I think that's where our biggest challenge is. Because families are together during these times, therefore we also come together with our families. But what message does it bring across? Does it then say, when somebody looking from the outside in, say, ah, these ones, they're celebrating Easter, they are probably from church?
Yes, the main thing that we must take away from this festival, there is another one that I'm just going to bring in 30 seconds. I'm going to explain also, yeah. Mother's Day, you know.
Yes.
Also, there was a god that was celebrated in Greece in honor. It was called the god was called Rhea, the mother of the gods. That was also another one that even in Rome, there was a god called Cybele that was also celebrated, and it was on a Sunday. So on Mother's Day, while the pagans were worshipping their god, their mother god, Rhea, on Mother's Day, and it was decided that Mother's Day will be every Sunday because of that god was celebrated every Sunday. One thing we must take is that all these festivals are linked to paganism. There is a worship of pagan gods during those times. So us as Christians, we must make a choice. Do we want to be associated with pagan festivals and actually celebrate them with them? Has God given us anything to celebrate, any days to celebrate? And the answer is yes. God has given us days for us to worship, days for us to remember. We have Holy Communion. Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. We have the Sabbath itself. Every seventh day of the week, Christ, God himself has said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God has given us days to celebrate. Why then are we choosing? So that means that the devil also has his own days. He has invented his own days to do the celebrations, to require worship. So the choice is ours now. Do we go and celebrate the days Or that have been chosen by the devil, or do we go and celebrate the days that have been chosen by God for us? The choice is really ours. No one is going to force us. That's what is happening right now. The devil saw that forcing us to celebrate his days was persecution and don't achieve the results, because Christians will always stand and refuse to worship. But now it is sadly, it is something that, remember, the devil not only needs worship, just celebrating a day is enough for the devil to be committed. Just going there, even Sunday, you know, on Sunday, if I just go just for 30 minutes to church, I've done enough. The devil accepts that kind of worship, that uncommitted celebration. The devil will always accept anything that is given to him. So the choice is ours, really. If we did not know this, we now know that these holidays are pagan festivals. You know, there are others, even Valentine's Day, you know, something like that, even though it was connected into the church. But what is wrong with me celebrating with my wife, treating my wife special? Why should I wait for one day to treat my wife special? What is wrong with me treating my mother any other day on her birthday or any special day that my mother, but I have to wait for Mother's Day for me to be able to spoil my mother. What is special about me waiting for Christmas only to spoil my family when I can do it any other day? We can choose a day, our anniversary or any other day. Easter, what is wrong with me celebrating the death of Christ? I have to wait for that period. That's the challenge that we must encounter now. We have a choice whether we do it or we don't. There is nothing limiting us from celebrating on any other day. But on those festivals, the one important thing that we must take away, let's educate people. Easter is coming. Let's educate people about the origins of Easter. Let's tell them what is they are really celebrating when they are celebrating during those times. No one actually knows what they are doing during those times. Let's educate people on Easter. Let's educate them on Christmas, on Mother's Day, on Valentine's Day. Let's educate other people so that they can also be alert to this pagan worship that we willingly participate but not knowing exactly what we are celebrating. Let us educate people more than anything else, and let us do those things on our own days which are special, but let's not participate in the devil's plan to weaken Christianity and the church as a whole. Yes.
Yeah, no, people are going to have heart attacks, and we're going to get people talking regarding this conversation of pagan festivals introduced in the church. Unfortunately, the time is just not enough for us to get through all of them. But what is important and what we are getting from this is that we need to do research on the things that we do so that we get an understanding as to why we do them. So one then, Brother Edith, just before I let you go, might say, yes, originally it was meant for, you know, the pagan worshipping, and but we are now adopting it as the resurrection of Christ. Is it? Yes. Is it? I know you specifically mentioned also the time of the year where these gods would be worshipped and celebrated. Is it about the time, or is it about the actual event itself, or even at the timing that we choose to celebrate Easter?
Let me put it like this.
Uh-huh.
The gods that are being celebrated at the right day, at the right time.
Okay.
They are receiving the honor in the right way that they are supposed to be worshipped. But is Christ receiving the right honor and the right way? Is he being worshipped properly during that time? And the answer is no. As long as we celebrate during those specific times, remember, they even look at the sun, where it's going, and they say the sun must be there so that we can celebrate our God. And then they celebrate their God. But God is not receiving the... God has said the seventh day, remember me. He has said that he needs to be worshipped on that seventh day. Why are we celebrating him, giving him honor on the day of other gods who are receiving that honor? That's all I can say, that God is not receiving appropriate worship during those days. He has specified the days that he wants us to worship him, and we should stick to that, yes.
Sure. That's where we leave it for today. Be assured that this conversation will be up on our app, will be up on our podcast as a conversation for you to be able to share and listen to with those around you. Thank you, Brother Eddie, for this conversation. May God bless you as we continue to minister to his children.